Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1998. The Coming of the New Elites.
Hello. I really appreciate the letters I've been receiving from listeners. Since we don't have anything like Nielsen ratings to judge how many people are listening to our broadcasts, I judge our popularity by the volume of mail that comes in. As long as that volume continues to grow, I'm happy in the knowledge that the number of people listening to our broadcasts is growing. More than that, I'm happy to know that people are not just listening, but they are responding. Because the consistent theme of all my programs has been that people must stop being mere spectators and must become participants. They must begin speaking out. Although most of my mail is very positive, I also receive a few hate letters, but I also appreciate these. They tell me things about the mentality of America's enemies. I'm not talking about the occasional letter from a spiteful Jew in which he tells me how much he hates me, or from a black nationalist in which his message is essentially, "Die, white dog. We people of color will destroy you, and then we will inherit the earth." The really interesting hate mail is from the self-hating whites, who tell me that I am evil for speaking up on behalf of my own race. In particular, I received several letters from these sick, pitiful people after my broadcast 2 weeks ago on the murders of those two white girls in Fayetteville, North Carolina, by members of a black gang, the Crips, in an initiation ritual. You know, I'm not a psychiatrist, although there are times when I wish I were so that I could better understand people like those who send me these hate letters. I think it's important to understand them because there are many more of our people out there suffering from the same sickness. I mentioned in an earlier broadcast that when Bill Clinton has traveled around the country speaking to groups of students and faculty about his vision of a non-white America in the next century, he has been applauded. Audiences which are mostly white have cheered Clinton when he boasted that the government's immigration policies are leading to a deliberate darkening of America. Sometimes I've been tempted to explain this reaction as simply another manifestation of the lemming phenomenon, which is to say most people have no real opinions of their own and will applaud whatever other people are applauding, whatever they think they're expected to applaud. And in fact, I'm sure that in most cases, that's what it is, simply a mindless reflex by people whose primary concern is to be fashionable. But some of the letters I have received in response to my broadcast on the Fayetteville murders indicate something darker and more twisted in the minds of the writers. What I detect is a sort of anguish, a sort of, "Oh no, you shouldn't tell anybody about that. It's terrible for you to report on things like that." And they think it's terrible not because two young white women were brutally murdered, but because news of their murders may make some people more hesitant to associate with blacks, more hesitant to tolerate the growing presence of black gangs in their communities. It is terrible to them because it is news which doesn't fit the party line that blacks are always the innocent victims of white oppression and injustice. And it is terrible because it may hinder the great plan to elevate the blacks and the other downtrodden and oppressed races and make everyone truly equal. And of course, the only way to do that is to get rid of the white majority, because whites have a tendency to oppress others, and they will oppress others as long as it is physically possible for them to do so. As I said, I'm not a psychiatrist, and so I don't really know why some people think like that. Probably in some cases it's the consequence of Christian teaching. The lion will lie down with the lamb, the last will be first, and the first will be last, and so on. Sometimes these notions are pumped into the heads of small children. And even when they grow up and have a chance to experience the real world, even when they no longer think of themselves as religious, they are unable to shed these early notions. Even though they can see that equality does not exist in the world, they still believe that it should. And probably there are others who have even darker and more twisted motives for not wanting the news of the Fayetteville murders to get out. For them personally, it is gratifying to learn that blacks have murdered white girls. They see it as a just punishment for our racial guilt. But as I said, they don't want such news to get out and alarm other white people and perhaps lead whites generally to take protective measures which will avert further well-deserved punishment. These are the same type of people who believe that I am a high school dropout, have bad teeth, and live in a trailer park with discarded mattresses and appliances in my front yard. In fact, I hear these comments about bad teeth and trailer parks so often that I suspect that the kids are being taught such things in high school these days. They're being taught that politically incorrect dissidents are low-class people who are chronic failures and want to keep blacks down so that we'll have someone to look down on. They believe that when I criticize the role of Jews in our society, I do so because I am envious of the Jews' financial success. And while some of the people who make these remarks to me about my bad teeth and my trailer home and my general failure as a human being seem to be pretty uptight, that is, it seems to me that they have some sort of emotional need to believe these things of me, others really are quite smug in their ignorance. I suspect that the smug ones are mostly just lemmings mindlessly parroting what they've been taught, and the uptight ones are those with some sort of religious motivation for their hatred. I never argue with these people, because it's clear that they are not susceptible to reason. They believe what they do because they have a need to believe it. I think I could straighten out the thinking of most of them with a piece of 2x4 or an oak table leg applied smartly about the head and shoulders twice a day for a month or so while keeping them on a diet of a couple of hundred calories a day. You know, the way we straightened out the thinking of the conquered Germans after the Second World War, but not by debating them. Really, it's only a small minority of the American population that is capable of any sort of independent thinking at all. Most people are so tightly bound by either the need to conform or by religious or quasi-religious hang-ups that they just aren't able to accept any idea or even any fact which is contrary to what they see on television. And that's too bad for them, because only those individuals who are able to accept evidence and to think clearly about it can prepare themselves for the enormous changes which are coming in our society. Only this thinking minority will be survivors. The rest will be victims. And indeed, great changes are coming. The 20th century has been the democratic century, the era of egalitarianism, the age of the mass man. The next century, indeed the next millennium, will be the era of the self-conscious elites. Which is not to say that everyone will be self-conscious or that everyone will belong to an elite. But the people who determine the course of events will. Of course, in a sense, that has been the case in this century too. The Jews certainly are a self-conscious elite, and they certainly have had a dominant influence in this century, primarily through their control of the mass media. But they have had to keep their dominance concealed from most people. They have had to rule through deceit and subversion. In the next century, the rule of the elites will be much more open. The pretense of democracy and equality will be dropped. The pretense already has become so transparent that even some of the lemmings are beginning to be disturbed by what is being revealed. America, the greatest champion of democracy, the great powerhouse which has gone about the horribly bloody and destructive business of making the world safe for democracy during most of this century, has a government which currently is the laughingstock of the world. And this is not solely because of Mr. Clinton's inability to keep his zipper up. Clinton, after all, did not get into the White House despite the system. He got into the White House because of the system. He got in because the system is designed for people like him, for clever liars, for skillful actors. It is designed so that the smoothest liars, the liars who can act most convincingly for the television cameras, are the ones who succeed in it. It is designed to weed out anyone with principles or patriotism and keep such people away from public office. Clinton or someone else with an equally embarrassing problem was inevitable. And as every other politician scrambles now to distance himself from Clinton and to persuade the public that everything will be A-OK if the public will just vote for him instead in the next election, as the politicians assure the public that Clinton is simply a terrible mistake, a fluke who somehow slipped through the system, and that the system itself is still in good shape, even some of the slow thinkers in the electorate are becoming a bit disillusioned about the system itself. Even the slow thinkers are beginning to suspect that all of the politicians who now, finally, are claiming to be shocked by Clinton's deceit, by Clinton's bald-faced lies, and are distancing themselves from him, really understood what sort of liar Clinton was all along, and only stopped supporting him when it became obvious that there was no chance at all for him to wriggle out of the mess he has gotten himself into. And, of course, after they were given the go-ahead last week by Clinton's former number one Jewish booster, Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman, even the slow thinkers are beginning to understand that even the politicians who themselves have managed to remain untainted by personal scandal, even the politicians who never have been caught with their drawers down or their hands in the cash drawer, are perfectly willing to tolerate a Clinton so long as the voters don't find out what's going on. And the brightest observers of the Clinton spectacle have understood that the system itself will not endure much longer. The most sophisticated observers have understood that a system so seriously flawed, a system whose flaws have been so glaringly exposed, will be replaced by something different before much more time has passed. The situation in Russia now presents a striking and persuasive lesson for us in this regard. While the Russian people starve, while Russian workers go unpaid, and the shelves of Russian stores remain bare, Jewish billionaires who have sucked the last drop of blood out of Russia scurry to stash their billions in Swiss bank accounts. And at the same time, their Jewish brethren in the West tighten the screws on the same Swiss banks in the most arrogant extortion racket the world has ever seen. Even the slow thinkers in the West who are observing these developments must suspect that the system in Russia will not last much longer. They must suspect that it will be replaced by something different very soon. More sophisticated observers of the Russian situation see a bit more. They see the likelihood that more than 80 years of exploitation of the Russian people by the Jews will come to an end soon. This exploitation endured while it was concealed from the public, first under the pretense of a dictatorship of the proletariat, and then under the pretense of a democracy. But it was, in fact, exploitation of the Russian people, first by Jewish commissars under a Marxist system, and then exploitation by Jewish capitalists under a media-controlled democratic system. The facts of this exploitation were obscured by the Jewish media bosses in the West for a long time. But, like Mr. Clinton's lies, the facts have become too obvious to conceal any longer. Boris Abramovich Berezovsky and Vladimir Gusinsky and all the rest of the Jewish billionaires controlling Boris Yeltsin simply have become too obvious, too visible. The fact that they literally stole Russia, and that they stole Russia with the connivance of other Jews inside the communist system as that system was being dismantled, simply cannot be concealed any longer. Berezovsky seems to enjoy the spotlight at the moment, and he is publicly throwing his weight around now and announcing his willingness to back certain Russian politicians, while the Russian people themselves are becoming increasingly exasperated by the spectacle of a handful of rich Jewish gangsters deciding how Russia is to be run while the Russians starve. I cannot predict in detail how the Russian situation will develop, of course, but I think it quite likely that we will see an end to Jewish power in Russia before we achieve that goal in the United States. And I also think it likely that the new rulers of Russia, the new self-conscious elite which comes to the fore there as the present crisis plays itself out, actually will be Russians for a change, and they will rule without the pretense of democracy. And if Russia succeeds in liberating itself from Jewish control, there may be similar developments in the rest of Eastern Europe, where just a few years ago communist butchers were permitted to switch hats, declare themselves Democrats, and continue ruling. Pressure from Washington played a big role in preventing the people of these other countries from taking vengeance on their former communist bosses. By substantially diminishing the prestige of the U.S. government, inadvertent though that was, Bill Clinton may have done the people of Russia and perhaps also the other countries of Eastern Europe a big favor. Vengeance may yet be taken. This possibility has not escaped the attention of the Jews themselves, and their publications in this country already are full of yammering and whining about how they are being scapegoated again, poor dears. Be that as it may, this era of sham and deceit and pretense, this era of democracy and politicians and rule by the Jewish media, is drawing to a close. The politicians don't understand that. They think we're just seeing another blip on the graph. The couch potatoes certainly don't understand it. Even the wise guys, most of the media commentators and the academics and the business tycoons, don't understand that it won't be just business as usual during the next century, with the Jewish media bosses molding public opinion to suit themselves, and the same old political shell game presenting clever liars and skillful actors to the voters to choose from. That racket has been too thoroughly exposed. It takes more than a mass of credulous couch potatoes and a few clever Jewish media bosses to keep the present system going. It also takes a great many thoughtful and semi-thoughtful people who are willing to let themselves be governed by the system. In the past, most of these people had pretty fuzzy notions of what was going on. They accepted the concept of democracy because that was fashionable. It was easier to accept it than to make a real effort to analyze its dynamics. But Bill Clinton, with his Jewish bimbo and his cigar tricks, has given us such a stark illustration of the way the system really works, that it will be very difficult for everyone to go back to swallowing the same old platitudes and cliches again. Of course, the people who believe that all dissidents have bad teeth and live in trailer parks will continue to believe whatever they're told. And the academics and commentators who are slaves to fashion will continue to try their best to be fashionable. But the number of those who have been permanently disillusioned has reached a point, I believe, where they will begin to have a growing influence on the course of events. They will have a growing influence on the thinking of those able to think for themselves. And from these people eventually will come a new elite of men who are idealistic and yet hard-headed, of men who will understand that the ground is shifting under the feet of the old elite and that something new and different must emerge from the changes now taking place around the world. And they will understand that now is the time, not later, to begin positioning themselves to be survivors rather than victims. The second raters will continue mouthing the old cliches and may even still believe the old baloney about democracy and equality. But the select few, the precursors of the elite of the 21st century, will free their minds from all of the old cobwebs and will see the future with much clearer eyes than the second raters. They will see the Jews for what they are, and they will choose not to serve them or even to tolerate them. They will think thoughts that the second raters are afraid to think. They will, for the sake of example, be able to compare Bill Clinton and his works, on the one hand, with Timothy McVeigh and the slaughter of 168 innocents in Oklahoma City, on the other hand. And they will understand whose deeds have in reality caused the greater amount of death and destruction. And they will understand which of the two is the greater criminal, which of these two opponents has acted from worse motives. And they will understand many other things. While rejecting the lie of egalitarianism and the pretense of democracy, they will understand that the new elite cannot stand on nothing, that it must stand on a strong base, and that base will be their racial community. Only the bonds of blood, of race, will be strong enough to hold in the chaos which is coming. In the struggle ahead, only those who struggle for something beyond their own enrichment or personal power will have lasting success. They must be part of a strong group, and they must struggle for group interests as well as their own. The new age will be an age of nationalism, and only those who speak and act for their people will be able to lead in the coming age. But it will be an age in which the actors, in which the clever liars will have short shrift, because it will no longer be masses of couch potatoes who will be asked to believe the liars, but instead hard-headed men who will not be so easily deceived and who will not feel the need to wear a mask of pretense themselves. They will rule because they are strong and able and have clear minds and actually work to advance the interests of their people. Perhaps my way of stating that sounds naive and excessively idealistic in this age of lies and corruption and rule by deceit, but that's really the way it will be. Things really are beginning to change. The age of the Jew is coming to an end, and the clear thinkers will be the first to begin acting on that. Thanks for being with me again today.